Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 69 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to bring you the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, I have to thank you for taking the reins last week.
I am happily passing them back to you. Folks, running this show and being on it at the same time is a lot trickier than it looks. Brittany makes it look very easy. I was very happy to fill in with our publisher, Matt, last week, but it is so good to have you back.
It definitely is stressful. I remember taking the reins from Banks because he would run the show when he was on here. And it was terrifying that first few times. It was like, I'm going to push a wrong button or I'm going to pull up a tab that I didn't mean to.
I'm just glad that I didn't somehow crash the server and erase the show. And then have to remember what we said and record it all over again.
That's, oh, geez.
Just not good.
We'll ADR the whole podcast.
Yeah. We'll loop it. We'll fix it in post.
Yeah. But other than that, how has your week been?
I had a great week. It is frigid here in Florida. I am wearing my sweater and all bundled up here in the studio. But I did have a great time going out to the Epcot opening day of their Taste of the International Festival of the Arts.
Oh, yeah. Which
is starting to look a lot like a taste of all the other food festivals. You know, we kind of know the pattern now. We know that the World Showplace Pavilion that's hidden between Canada and UK is now the MVP, most valuable pavilion, because you can go in there and get warm and get to like three different food booths all in one spot. It isn't quite the same without the big name Broadway stars on the stage. But Voices of Liberty did a show of Disney songs from movies and musicals that was really good. I had a few new dishes and some old favorites that I really liked. And it's great just getting to walk around World Showcase in the chilly Florida frigid air.
I'm dying for someone to film that Voices of Liberty show so I can vicariously experience it.
I walked into it halfway through, but I'm going to try to get back there this week and film the whole thing.
Do it, because I want to see it. Well, you said it was frigid for you. It snowed in Texas today.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
2 inches my road iced over, so that was cool. I haven't seen snow in a long time, so that was very charming. Brody got to experience snow for the first time.
Aw, that's sweet.
Hated it. Absolutely hated it. Was angry that we took him outside in the snow. But it was very fun. And then, as I said earlier, I got to do the WandaVision press junket this morning
after jealous.
Watching the first three episodes of the show. They come out on the 15th. In case you didn't know, the first two episodes, I believe, will be available to stream initially, and then it will launch weekly. And this is kicking off phase four of the MCU. And while the full review embargo is not up yet.
I love that picture.
I'm debating whether or not I should tell a quick anecdote from the junket.
Is
I'm
it
gonna
a
do it.
Possible spoiler?
No.
Are you allowed?
Someone
Are you allowed?
Asked. So the cast that was there, it was Catherine Hahn, Matt Shankman, the director, and Kevin Feige, and Jack, I forget her last name, but she's the head writer of the series, and then Paul Bettany, Elizabeth Olsen, and Tiana Paris, who is Monica, which if you've seen Captain Marvel, you met Monica as a kid. So she's all grown up now in WandaVision. And someone directed a question to Paul Bettany by calling him Purple Daddy. Because Vision's purple. I'm glad my mic
is that a thing now? Is that a thing?
I didn't know it was a thing. I was like, is that something the kids call him or something? But I screamed. I was sitting right here and I was just like, oh my God, he really did that. But the junket was super fun. They kind of kept mum about most things because when you watch the show, it presents itself as something very not MCU. It's super charming. Each episode is set in a different era of sitcom, the first episode being the 1950s. So think I Love Lucy and Mary Tyler Moore and all of those. And it's super charming. The first episode was shot in front of a live studio audience in secret. And so all the laughing and stuff, that's like in studio, which is crazy.
I almost wanted to have a fake laugh track.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, okay, good. Yeah. Okay, good. For like the 60s and the 70s. All right.
But they're, man, they are setting up some weird stuff for phase four.
I have so many questions. Should I ask or should I just say
you can ask.
I mean, this picture right here.
Yeah.
Okay, so Monica is grown up. So this is obviously takes place years after Endgame, after the snap, right?
Well, Monica was a kid in the 90s when Captain Marvel.
Oh, in the 90s. Yeah. Okay. So we don't know. All right. I'm just wondering, because in that picture right there, Vision looks like he still has an Infinity Stone on his forehead.
He does, yes.
Okay. Well, that's a little confusing, but it's all very confusing. I guess yes. I'm just going to have to watch.
There are some weird things that happen. I saw someone describe it on Twitter as Lynchian in its discomfort.
Twin Peaks fans. So,
well, right, all the David Lynch fans jumped on this person's neck for saying anything like that. But I would agree. It definitely, in points, has like a Twilight Zone kind of vibe. It definitely has like that uncomfortable eraser head, like stoic, emotionless, scary feel. But they're in between each episode. At the end and at the beginning, sometimes there's little stingers that show things outside of the realm of this right here. and there are also commercials in the show, products that are just random, but the companies that make the products are the ones you want to pay attention to. I think I know where it's going as far as the arc. But man, I'm poor Wanda. I love her.
I'm very jealous that you've got to see this. I gotta finish off Cobra Kai so I can start binging this when it.
Well, you're in luck because each episode's only like 30 minutes, so it's perfectly consumable. But man, if they're doing what I think they're doing, Sam Raimi is gonna have a blast, like far too much fun. With Spider-Man or Doctor Strange, not Spider-Man.
The Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Which
I think is going to also tie into the new Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
Because that's also got a multiverse dimension based on the casting rumors.
Yes. Mostly, I've been mulling over Bruce Campbell. And whether or not he'll be in the movie or not, Multiverse of Madness. And if he is...
It's not a Sam Raimi film if Bruce Campbell isn't in there somewhere.
I have a feeling I know who he would play if he's in it. If the arc that I think WandaVision is covering is happening.
So you're going to have to write this down on a piece of paper, seal it in an envelope, and we'll open it up when the series wraps up.
Yes.
All right.
But I can't wait for you guys to watch it. It is so funny. Paul Bettany is having far too much fun with this show. He is just absolutely hilarious. He takes the comedy of Vision, not really knowing how to human, to like the next level, and is so funny. And the comedy is very physical in some places, and it kind of evolves as each episode goes through the various eras of television. It's very smart and so funny, but it definitely feels at the same caliber as the Marvel movies. So,
well, it looks like I'm definitely gonna have to keep paying for that Disney Plus subscription.
Don't cancel it just yet. Nope. I promise. It's good. It's very funny. It's also light in most places. So, something we could all use, I think.
Yes, I could definitely, because like all the shows we watch are very dramatic and very heavy.
Same!
So yes, a comedy would be a nice change.
Same. I was complaining about that the other day. I was like, I want to watch a new show, but all the shows that I like are dark and dramatic.
Need a good sitcom.
Yeah. This one seems like it'll fit the bill. In other news, MegaCon has rescheduled their dates, or more like picked their plan B dates for this year's event. I was originally set for March, but they have updated their event to their backup dates of August 12th through the 15th, 2021. And I'm just glad they're going to try to have it at all.
it's not shocking. March was a little ambitious. I think that here in Florida, August is going to be a much better month for tourism and getting people to gather in large places. I think, based on how fast our governor is rolling out vaccinations, March is a little too optimistic. So better to call it off now than wait until the last second. It will be interesting and weird, but also kind of welcome to go to a MegaCon kind of event, see people dressed up in cosplay, see people interacting in a crowd again. It'll be nice to see that again, but not quite yet.
Yeah, soon, though. If you happen to purchase tickets to MegaCon Orlando 2021, your tickets can be changed over to August. It happens automatically, but they also have refunds available up to 2 weeks before the event. So reach out to them if that applies to you.
And, you know, that news was so exciting that it jumped out of the queue. So I think now it
would
be time
dang.
For news in the queue.
Ah, I ruined it. In a week and I'm rusty. What has happened to me?
I was trying to give you a smooth transition so you could just like play it off. Like, it's totally intentional.
Ah, man.
It's all good.
Well, anyway, and next up in news in the queue, Six Flags Over Texas has launched a new festival called Fire and Ice Winter Festival, and all I thought about was Game of Thrones.
And all I thought of was Dueling Dragons.
Yeah. But it runs on weekends from January 9th through February 28th of this year, plus January 18th and February 15th, with s'mores and fire pits and fireworks every night. It sounds very cozy and wintry to kind of close out this weird year we've had so far.
Well, you know, I'm not really familiar with operations. Is Six Flags Over Texas normally a year-round park, or are they seasonal, and would they normally be closed at this time?
I think, I know SeaWorld San Antonio was seasonal, but they recently made the move to year-round.
You know, I see a lot of these regional parks trying to recoup some of their losses from 2020 by extending out their holiday season. Here in Orlando, I think a lot of tourists stuck around past New Year's longer than I expected. We still have had some crowds in the parks. And I think it's a really smart way for them, to try to do these kind of festivals, anything they can to get a little bit of revenue to make up for everything they lost. And this is a pretty impressive lineup. You got everything from ice carvers to Nashville musicians to fireworks at night. If I was in town, I might check it out, especially since it's only $20.
And there's a mariachi.
Yes. A theme park festival without mariachi music.
I miss Mariachi Cobra. Just someone live stream at Epcot so I can watch. But it seems very fun. It's a great value as far as what you're getting at the event in return. Mm-hmm. So if you are in the Texas area, check it out. That's one Texas park I haven't been to yet. I say that like I've been to more than just SeaWorld. This is some exciting news for Legoland. If you've been to their Miniland USA display, you know it's incredibly detailed. However, it is dead center in the baking sun in the hot summer months. You will burn. And they've decided to alleviate that by building new shade structures that will be ready by summertime.
I'm going to throw a little bit of shade at our friend Banks for not, you know, slipping us the exclusive scoop so we knew about this before everyone else.
Oh, you're shading him.
It's just kidding, Banks. I know. But I think these are kind of cool. They almost look like circus tents.
Yeah.
They look a little bit like the Cirque du Soleil La Nuba building. And I think it's cool that they have what looks like skylights in the top of them. So even though there's shade, there'll still be natural sunlight coming in. Miniland really needs this because it's a work of art, and you could stand there for hours, you know, just examining all the detail in these buildings if it wasn't for the fact that it was baking in the sun. And not just for the guests, but to preserve these things, you know, you can already see how sun damage has taken their toll on them over the years. So I think this is a really great idea. I know I will definitely spend more time in Miniland next time I'm there once mm-hmm. this is up.
I love miniatures in general, but I think Miniland is so cool, and I hope that this makes the pieces last longer, because they definitely can't get sun bleached mm-hmm. super easy. And construction started this past week and should be ready sometime this summer. So we will keep an eye on that and keep you updated. Busch Gardens is letting the good times roll. I'm not going to try to say the French way because I will butcher it. Their Mardi Gras event is returning on weekends and select dates from January 16th through February 16th. You can have all the gumbo and etouffee and beignets that your little heart desires. And I love Mardi Gras and Cajun food. It just sounds like a dream.
This is interesting because I will be perfectly honest. I didn't even know that Busch Gardens Tampa ever did a Mardi Gras celebration. It was news to me because here in Orlando, when you think of Mardi Gras,
you think of
Universal. Yeah. Universal has been suspiciously silent about what's happening with Mardi Gras. Normally, we would have had announcements. We would start having concerts lined up. Now, we got really nothing from Universal about what is happening exactly with Mardi Gras. I would not be surprised if Mardi Gras at Universal turns out a lot like Christmas did, where they set some floats up in a soundstage and have some food booths and call it a day.
No concerts.
So this actually looks like a bigger Mardi Gras celebration than what we might end up getting at Universal right now. And the food events that I've been to previously at Busch Gardens and SeaWorld, especially with these lanyard samplers, they're a really good deal. It's a much better value than the Epcot food festivals. Still not going to be a Mardi Gras parade.
Yeah.
There's no hope of Mardi. I don't care where you are this year. I don't think you're going to see a Mardi Gras parade. But if they have some entertainment and some beads and lots of food, that might be enough to keep people happy.
Yeah. The sampler lanyards come in 5 and 10 punch with 12 punch for pass members, and prices start at $34.99. Are there, in previous festivals, do they have like full portions of food, or are they like sample portions like Epcot does?
So the ones that I've been to, it depends on which booth you go to. Some booths will have a larger portion for a dollar amount, and then a slightly smaller portion that you get with the punch cards. But they're surprisingly large portions. I'd say the portions at the SeaWorld and the Busch food festivals are bigger than the Disney food portions for the same price.
Hey, if you like to eat,
yep,
you know where to go. Disney is launching yet another monthly merchandise collection. Last year was Minnie Mouse and theme park attractions. This year it's Stitch and Disney movies. And I feel like Seth has some feelings about this because he exasperatingly sighed as soon as I pulled the webpage up.
You know, Stitch, the Lilo and Stitch film, I think is a really underappreciated gem.
Yes, seconded.
And But I think what Disney has done with Stitch over the years, especially inside the Disney theme parks, has not endeared the character to me. I don't think, I mean, everything from giving him probably the worst attraction in the history of the Magic Kingdom.
Chili dog burps.
To some of the like most ill-conceived promotions, like that time they wrapped Cinderella Castle in toilet paper.
I thought that was funny. But I was.
It was better than the Barbie castle cake. This is merchandise. I don't have to buy it. And if there's someone else out there who this appeals to, more power to you. You do you. but like, all right, if we're gonna celebrate the anniversary of Beauty and the Beast, let's do it with Beauty and the Beast merchandise, not with Stitch merchandise. They always have Stitch crashing into things and messing things up, and that's a part of his personality, but I think what's made Stitch work in the film was that he had Lilo to play off of. Mm-hmm. And so that you had the heart and the emotion to balance out the wild and crazy side. And when all we get is the Stitch crashing into things, it'll probably fly off the shelves, so what do I know?
They usually do in groups of 10 in giant bags. If you're interested in this collection, there will be 12 different sets coming out over the course of this year, once a month, and they include a plush and a matching pin. And one thing that I thought was really cool that they showed as part of this collection is this pin collector book, where you can just slide the pin with the backing card into these little envelope things. I haven't seen that before at the parks.
So you never even have to remove your pin
from its backing. Yeah. I think that's neat.
But then is it actually a pin anymore if it's never pinned to anything?
It's pinned to the backing.
It's a philosophical debate we'll have to have another day.
It's Schrodinger's pin.
If a pin falls in the woods and no one hears it, is it still collectible?
Probably. The first collection, the Beauty and the Beast one, will launch on Shop Disney through Merch Pass on January 12th and will be available at the parks on January 16th, which I think is next Saturday. So keep that in mind. The Merch Pass launch includes the plush, the pin, and a magic band that will only be available on Shop Disney. So if you're one of those magic band heads,
hitting that website and enjoy the crashes.
Get your credit cards ready, because Merch Pass has not been the best. They will also launch t-shirts and mugs, but they have not shown what they look like. I would imagine the mug has some variation of this on it, but I can't imagine what the t-shirt would look like.
It will be subtle and tasteful.
As Stitch always
there's
is.
Absolutely no chance of any of this ending up in the
outlets.
In the outlet store.
Well, did the mini stuff ever end up in the outlets?
I can't remember. Mini's a little more classic, I feel like. You know, I would buy a mini something for my wife. I wouldn't necessarily buy her Stitch.
They had more product with her launches, too. Like, they did ears, a Loungefly product, a plush, a pin, and a mug. But it was a pin set and not just a single pin. So I wonder if maybe they just cut out the stuff that didn't sell very well when they decided to launch this one. I wonder what other movies they're going to do. A Star Wars Stitch, could you imagine?
You know, that's interesting, because they haven't mashed Star Wars up with Disney characters since, you know, they started putting out the sequel films. They've been very careful about protecting that IP. I'm wondering if they'll start going back and doing that again.
I just had an idea. Stitch, Baby Yoda.
Stitch Grogu.
Yes.
I think that could break the internet.
I'm putting it out in the universe. If they have that planned for one of these 12 months, that might get me to pull out my credit card.
They really do look like they could be cousins. I mean,
yeah. Well, know, and Stitch
just
looks like
just
a Frenchie.
Got an ear job.
So I feel compelled. And our last bit of news in the queue news, Everglaze Donuts finally opened up over at Disney Springs, offering diabetes inducing donuts piled.
You said
high.
It, not me. You said it, not me.
Hey, please, no offense. I am just joking, but they look delicious. They when this news came out, I ordered some Voodoo donuts to be delivered to my house because I was craving donuts after working on this article. They look so like cake-like with the swirl of whipped cream on top and everything.
Yeah, they're kind of like donuts crossed with cupcakes with all the stuff piled on top. To be honest, I mean, it's not a new thing. We've had Voodoo donuts at Universal for a while, and if you look, take a look at the menu prices, I'm kind of blown away because they're charging $4 or more for a donut that you could get at Voodoo for $1.75. So I haven't tasted it myself. I'm also a little disappointed that they've only got one vegan option, I've switched almost entirely to vegan donuts just because they are so good at Voodoo, and it means that I can have them with my wife in the mornings. I don't know. I will definitely check this place out the next time I'm at Disney Springs. But this kind of feels a lot like when Gideon's Bakehouse opened and we had 3-hour lines. It's like anything that comes into Disney Springs that's new gets, you know, a huge attention. But a lot of times it's something that you could have gotten somewhere else for a lot less money already.
Yeah. And outside of Orlando, I mean, the Voodoo Donuts here, it's on 6th Street, if you know Austin at all. And I was able to order a dozen donuts, have them delivered to my house through DoorDash for less than $30 for a dozen. And I got to pick which donuts were in the dozen. This one, I'm not sure how much it would cost to get a dozen. I see you save $6. But it still seems like a lot when the donuts are $4 and $5 a piece.
That'll add up quick.
Yeah. And are they worth it? Are they good? I know Quinn liked them.
Yeah. You know, some people like donuts that are really sugary sweet. Some people like them that are more exotics, you know, spicy or savory or whatever. I just like a good cup of coffee. That's all I want.
I'm a big fan of the ODB at Voodoo.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Peanut butter?
Peanut butter. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so good. Though I'm interested, their one vegan option, the purple glazed ube. I like ube, taro, that kind of sweet potato-y taste. I wonder if it's any good. I'm going to have to try it next time I'm in town. And they also have sandwiches, which I thought was interesting.
Which you can get made with a donut instead of a bun to really put you over the edge.
Well, if you're going to go that far, you might as well go all the way.
Right.
And then in our last bit of news, our main attraction, which, to be fair, I didn't expect this to go as crazy as it did. 7,000 shares on this article, mind you.
Wow.
It was intense. I knew that this thing had a large fan base, a very like cult fan base. But to see the reaction on social media was crazy. Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom is shutting down at the end of this month on January 24th. And I'm really sad about it because I used to love collecting the cards. I'm a collector by habit. And as soon as I went to Magic Kingdom for the first time, being a cast member was like, oh, there's this card game for free?
I think I still have a pile of them on my shelf somewhere buried back there. If I ever find them, I'll give you mine.
I have the book. I'm a big nerd. I have the book somewhere in this office and a bunch of the cards and like party cards that people have given me, but I just love the art. It was so unique and cool. And the interaction in the parks, I thought it was so fun to just be able to walk up into a queue or something and tap your magic band and see this thing that you wouldn't normally have paid any attention to come to life in front of you with 2D animated characters, which is an anomaly these days.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of anomaly, it was something that you could actually get for free inside the parks. It was like a physical souvenir that you did not have to hand them cash for. And that's a definite rarity. Yeah, there were definitely people who were addicted to this. And in some cases, it was great. I know people who made friendships and formed communities around it. In other cases, I got to say, over the years, I personally witnessed some behavior that ranged from slightly creepy to almost predatory. With adults staking out spots with giant books full of cards and offering to trade kids who didn't really know what it was that they had, and kind of loitering around in the way that like teenagers would at the mall back in the day. I can understand why, especially right now, this would be something that's being phased out for purely operational reasons.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when it was okay to have it running when the parks first reopened with the pandemic, because crowds were so light and spread out, it wasn't doing any damage. But, you know, especially with the Christmas holidays and since then, you've seen queues for rides like the Jungle Cruise and Pirates of the Caribbean that stretch, you know, all the way outside, back and forth, and they're wrapping right in front of the spots where these games would be played in Adventureland and in Frontierland. And it's purely a matter of congestion. There's a lot of spots that are just not accessible with all the social distancing going on. And it's also, it's an expense. I'm sure there's a spreadsheet somewhere that shows them exactly to the penny how much they spend on those cards, and the labor for the person to staff the firehouse. I'm wondering if the firehouse will now be closed, because back in the day, that was a little exhibit to look at the antique fire engine and the stuff in there. And that was converted over when they opened Sorcerers, and I guess now it'll just be another shut door.
Well, that seems to be, because being a player, I was in the Facebook groups. It seems to be a point of contention with the fans, because they wonder whether or not this is a permanent or temporary closure, because the firehouse is being refurbished during this closure. We reached out to Disney, and they said that it is going away. Mm-hmm. And I assume that means permanently. And they said that their reasons were the changes in how guests use mobile technology, like Play Disney Parks, and decreased demand for the experience itself. So
I think this was kind of like, this was around before the Play Disney app.
Mm-hmm.
They experimented with different ways of having interactivity. I think at some point on a corporate level, they just decided the Play Disney app is where it's at.
Yeah.
And whatever we can fit in there, fine, but we're not spending money on something outside of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they've even released a party card in a long time. No, I can't remember.
It's been quite a few. 2018,
2019, something like that.
Yeah.
Of
course,
so
they haven't had a party
in a while.
Now, could like something in the spirit of Sorcerers come along someday and, you know, be a purely digital thing that's done through your smartphone? Maybe. I think once we see the DuckTales game over at Epcot, let's wait for them to get that off its feet first, and then they might start thinking about something over at at the Magic Kingdom.
And it wouldn't be the first time that Disney has done something like that. I believe they have a licensing agreement with Topps, the trading card company, to have like a trading card mobile game where you can collect Disney things. I know that they were doing promotion for Soul when that came out.
Hey, Brian's got an interesting comment. Do I think it's because of the Disney Genie app from D23? Well, okay, I'm not sure that the Disney Genie app is directly related to D23. My understanding is that concept was for the parks themselves, and it would basically be kind of like touring plans, except Disney approved, where they would tell you what attractions to go on in what order, and you would maybe skip lines by following their plan.
Yeah.
My understanding is that that whole Disney Genie thing is on hold until social distancing is completely over. I don't think it's being actively worked on at the moment. So I don't think that would have anything to do with Sorcerer's shutting down.
That's
just my theory.
The last I saw of it was the IAPA online conference thing a couple of months ago. And they just showed
mention. Yeah.
It was like really quick glimpses, only enough to show that the UI looked different from the D23 presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it has anything to do with the card game. I think it's just people are on their phones more. They don't want to have to carry around cards in their pocket. If they could figure out a way to do it digitally through Play Disney Parks and use RFID to connect or something, that would be different.
Well, you know, the cards themselves, the system wasn't RFID based. Those cards were just pieces of cardboard. I believe that it was a image recognition camera in the windows themselves that would look at the back of the cards and would do it there was one card you had that was like a key card.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was RFID, but I think everything else was image scan based. So, you know, most new iPhones and other smartphones have RFID capabilities built in, and you could certainly display your cards on a screen and have them read off there. So, I don't know, maybe someone could come up with a way, but
yeah.
Disney doesn't seem to be interested in doing it.
Someone will, just like how they built VMK over again when that shut down. Bless them. I miss VMK. It was so good. But we shall see. I wonder how many people will throw their cards up on eBay when it's gone. And they did say that if you are a fireman and you want to bring a patch by the firehouse to be put on display, you can drop it off at City Hall and they will take care of it for you.
While the refurbishment is going on.
Yes.
So hopefully that means they will reopen that exhibit someday.
Yeah. I never got to see it in its original form.
Yeah, I have vague memories from it feels like a long time ago. It's been like almost a decade, right?
So. Dang. Well, before we go, I have some listener thank yous, quite a few to share with you this week. In case you don't know, we have a 3-tier subscription service here at Attractions Magazine, Club, Basic, and VIP. And if you pick Club or VIP the week after you subscribe, we share a shout out for you on the Attractions podcast. So without further ado, big thank yous to Melissa Sutla, Alicia Newell, Adrian Burris, Carol Mulville, William Dehardine, Christy Falk, and Anne Harrett. Thank you so, so much. I hope I didn't butcher your names. If I did, I'm really sorry.
If I can, I also want to jump in and say something real quick before we end the show. This has been a really crazy week here in America. We are a show about theme parks, and we're not political experts, and we're not here to talk about politics. But I also feel like it is kind of absurd for us to completely ignore it. We like being in fantasy land, but we can't live there all the time. I just want to say on a personal note, I was actually at the Magic Kingdom in Liberty Square at the exact moment that everything was going down in Washington on Wednesday. And the crowd that I was standing in front of the Hall of Presidents, that Hall of Presidents with, they were all polite and happy to see a patriotic show and getting along, and they were diverse and from all different places and all different countries, and that's the America I love, and that's the America that I wish we could have all over the country. So without getting any more into it, that's all I wanted to say.
I can't top that by any means. I was sitting on my couch when it happened, just glued to the news, but I absolutely agree. I think It's hard not to feel overwhelmed with it all, but I hope we can provide you some kind of happy, silly break.
Yep. It's okay to distract yourself. You know, we've all been doing the doom scrolling. We've all been like glued to the cable news. Yep. But it's, you know, it's okay to take a break and take care of yourself and, you know, have a distraction for a few minutes. And I hope we can be that distraction, at least for you.
Yeah. Right now. That's our new slogan, the Attraction Podcast, self-care for you.
Amen. We all need it right now.
Yeah. If you are looking for some more theme park self-care, our 2020 and 2021 winter issue is available now, as well as our new digital subscription option, which just launched over the weekend. We have a new app out on iOS, and I believe it's also on Google Play. If you prefer to get PDFs of your issues of Attractions Magazine, plus see all of our articles that we publish throughout the week on your phone, you can check that out.
And while you're being all digital, please subscribe to us on whatever podcast service you use, especially iTunes. And if you do use iTunes, please leave us a review. It's absurd how important those 5-star reviews are to getting us in front of other people and helping more people hear us so that we can bring you more news. It's a vicious cycle, but please hit those like buttons, subscribe buttons, and hit those reviews. Thank you.
Yeah. If you have any bad reviews, keep them to yourself.
Yeah, save them. You can send them to the FBI. They'll investigate them.
Because they always say don't read the comments, but I do. And if you say something mean, it will hurt my feelings. So just don't.
If any of you out there hurt Brittany's feelings, I will, I'm not going to say what I will do, but I will be very disappointed in you.
We will have shame you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. Seth, if you would, tell the folks at home where they can find you on the interwebs.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @skuberski and at @theugseries, and also on the web at theunofficialguides.com, where my new book, The Unofficial Guide to Universal Orlando 2021, will be released in like 11 days. So you can pre-order it now.
Go buy it.
Please.
Do it. Please.
My cat needs food.
Feed the cat. Do it for the kitties. And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. I know Seth tried to do that last week.
Oh, it's a train wreck.
It's like, it's just automatic. It's like muscle memory at this point. You can also find me reporting every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you're watching this lovely podcast right now if you're here while we're recording.
Hi.
And I promise next week my review for WandaVision's first 3 episodes will be going up when the embargo lifts, so keep an eye out for that.
Can't wait.
And watch it and tweet at me and let me know what you think about the show, because I really like it, but I'm always open to other opinions.
And as long as they're the right opinion.
Right, as long as they are the correct ones. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, but most of all, have fun. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.